Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now an investigative report on money and influence in the Christie campaign, and it has nothing to do with a certain bridge or favored development projects in Hoboken. Lee Fong, contributing writer for The Nation and a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund at The Nation Institute, has looked at New Jersey's pension funds and their investment with politically connected hedge funds. He joins me now. Welcome back to WNYC, Lee Fong.
Brian, thank you so much for having me.
And I think it's interesting that your report comes out now, just as Christie himself is trying to distract attention from Bridgegate by putting attention on the pension system. Here is 30 seconds of the governor from his State of the State address.
For fiscal year 2015, the increase in pension and debt service costs could amount to as much as nearly $1 billion. That's nearly $1 billion that we can't spend on education, that we can't invest in infrastructure improvement, that we can't use to put more cops on the street, that we won't have available to us to increase access to health care.
So he's looking at how much the state has to contribute to workers' pension funds. What are you looking at?
Well, I looked at the New Jersey Public Pension Fund for the reason that Christie is very proud of his record on getting tough on these pensions, making workers pay more into the plan, retire a little bit later, cutting out the COLA benefit change.
Cost of living increase, uh-huh.
That's right. And as I looked into it, there was kind of another side to the story that Chris Christie has, under his administration, radically increased the allocation of the New Jersey Pension Fund that's managed by the so-called alternative program. So that's hedge funds, private equity, real estate. And as I've researched the story, I found that many of the hedge fund managers who received these very lucrative contracts to manage pension fund money were also political supporters of the governor and had contributed money to campaign-related efforts.
That's funny when we're talking about that with respect to Chris Christie, because wasn't one of the knocks on John Corzine that he made it easier for his pals from Wall Street, and he used to run Goldman Sachs, to manage New Jersey's pension funds?
Yeah, that was actually a knock on Corzine from Christie during the campaign in 2009. And really, the alternative program of pushing New Jersey pension money into Wall Street, into these more risky, high-fee plans, started under Corzine. However, once Christie got into government, once he won the election in 2009, he really radically increased what had started under Corzine, having his appointees to the council that oversees the fund almost double those type of investments.
Did Christie make a campaign promise in 2009 to do the opposite if he was criticizing Corzine for this?
Well, he didn't make specific promises, but he was very clear in saying that the alternative program opened up the door to corruption. So he was he was very negative on these types of investments on the campaign trail, but his behavior once in office was a little bit different.
Listeners, especially if you're into the New Jersey pension system, but anyone else, you want to call in and talk about hedge funds and private equity managers with their fingers in the Christie administration and ways they contribute money, which we'll get to, and their managing of the pension funds, 212-433-WNYC for Lee Fong from The Nation, new investigative report out there about this, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show to post your comment or your question. Lee, convince me that this is bad. I mean, I could say, hey, these hedge funds and these private equity guys, if they do anything, they make money. And so rather than put New Jersey's pension funds more in very safe index funds, let's say, the very broad S&P 500 kinds of funds and things like that, maybe one of the ways out of the pension hole for New Jersey is to get the funds to grow, and these are the guys who can make it grow. Is that Christie's rationale here?
Yes, and that's the rationale for a lot of states that are considering or have adopted similar strategies, maybe not to the same degree that New Jersey has, but, you know, pension funds across the country are underfunded, and there's a drive to chase returns. They need to make up these huge gaps. So there's the argument that these more risky hedge fund or private equity investments could close those gaps. But if you look at academic research from both the right and the left, you look at not just a snapshot of 1 year versus another, but multiple decades of these type of investments from institutional investors, funds that go into high-fee alternative funds, including hedge funds and private equity, typically perform worse. And that's not only because of the risk, but because many of these hedge funds have such large fees that they kind of those fees eat into any potential gains.
If you're implying corruption here, suggesting that Christie was benefiting politically from his relationships with these private equity and hedge fund managers while putting the people's pension funds more at risk, make that case as specifically as you can. What does Christie get from these relationships?
Well, New Jersey law is actually the most strict in the country in terms of banning state contractors, including folks who win these contracts to manage pension investments, from donating or giving gifts to state politicians, because the New Jersey legislature has, I think, rightfully seen that that creates a potential for conflict of interest, or at least the appearance of corruption. You don't want pay-to-play, of course, in any of these deals. But there's kind of a loophole here in that we've seen this proliferation of third-party political groups. The largest in recent years for New Jersey state politics has been the Republican Governors Association.
Which Christie was recently elected to chair.
Correct. He is now the chairman of the organization. And this organization came in 2009 and spent big to help elect Christie, helped reelect him last year with big campaign advertisements and other expenditures. And now, as you mentioned, Christie is the chair of this organization, which has traditionally been kind of a vehicle for Republican governors to lay the groundwork to run for president. And
also to run for reelection. I think that's important, that this is a big election year for governors around the country, and that one of the main reasons any governor gets elected chairman of the Republican or the Democratic Governors Association, it's because they are perceived as having a tremendous ability to raise money, campaign donations, one way or another, that can get used to support these gubernatorial candidates, correct?
That's correct. And the RGA, the Republican Governors Association, like the DGA, Democratic equivalent, is a 527, but that's essentially the same as what's known as a super PAC. It can receive unlimited contributions and spend unlimited expenditures. And as Christie has toured the country raising money for this group, he's received large donations from hedge fund managers, from folks on Wall Street. Some of these individuals have won very lucrative pension fund contracts under the Christie administration. So Paul Singer is one, a very active Republican donor, gave a large check to the RGA in 2009 as Christie was running, gave another large check in December just after Christie became the chair of the RGA.
How large?
I'm sorry?
How large?
I believe $1.2 million.
That's his campaign contribution, $1.25 million?
Yeah, so he was the largest donor last year with that donation. That obviously benefits Christie's prospects as the chair of the RGA, because he can say, I've raised a lot of money. This $1.25 million contribution really benefits the party this year.
And I just want to make sure I use the proper language. It's not a campaign donation per se when you give it to the Republican Governors Association, but you're saying that's what it is in effect.
In effect, because this is a political beast. I mean, it goes into races, spends big, and, you know, New Jersey and Virginia are off-year elections, so the RGA was incredibly focused on New Jersey and Virginia when Christie ran initially and again last year.
Did you get any response from the governor I assume you tried to contact him or his people to answer questions on this. Did he just sniff because you're the nation and so he perceives you as an enemy out to get him? Or, you know, I wonder if you got to ask any version of what they're doing in other states, because I see that California just shifted away from hedge funds last fall because while returns might be higher, fees eat up much, if not most, of that return. And there was a New York Times article back in November where we saw that New York in 2012 paid private equity consultants over $2 million, hedge fund consultants about $1 million, while the fees for ordinary stocks were only $63,000, even though stocks are much bigger a piece of the pie in the New York pension funds. So did you get to put any of these numbers in front of the governor or get any response?
Unfortunately, we attempted for about 2 weeks to get in contact with the governor. They did not respond. But we did talk to the Division of Investment, where his appointees run the council there that oversees the pension fund. And, they made the argument that they've made sound investments, that they'd like to diversify the fund, that they don't want to put all their eggs in one basket. That's their point of view. But as you mentioned, this is a bipartisan kind of, I wouldn't say a scandal, but it's a growing story where many states have experimented with these types of investments. Many are pulling back. In Rhode Island, the Democratic state treasurer, Gina Raimondo, she's running for governor. She's faced a lot of scrutiny for engaging in a lot of the similar activity in terms of pushing Rhode Island pension funds into these high-fee, high-risk hedge funds and then receiving political support from that community.
Now, I want to take Bob in Mountainside because he wants to make sure it's crystal clear that governors from both parties do this. Right, Bob?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
In fact, President Obama does it. Every politician does it. I'm not condoning it. It's wrong. You probably should just do the 60-40 plan that is a generally accepted good investment principle. But what I want to see is, like, why are you always bashing Christie? It's just Menendez is under ethics investigation. Booker has some questionable practices of the Watershed Commission. We never hear about this on WNYC. It's all bashing Christie all the time.
I'd say that's incorrect, and that we deal with the Menendez scandals and we deal with the questions about Cory Booker. And Cory Booker has personally told me that I was too tough on him on one particular occasion not that long ago. But there's a lot of Christie stuff in the news right now, and there's a lot that's new with respect to Christie right now. And so we're going to talk about it. But he is right that this isn't a Republican thing or a Christie thing. This is what you chose to dig into. And your beat at The Nation is kind of money and right-wing politics, right?
Well, that's right. But we focus on all kinds of power elites, I would call them. We had a big story just last month. It was the cover story about lobbying. I'm very proud of that story, just really looking into how President Obama, after promising to be one of the most transparent presidents to crack down on the lobbying industry in Washington, D.C., has actually made the problem much worse, that he's backtracked on those promises and that his only official action has corroded the lobbying transparency system that we've had since the post-World War II era. So, you know, I do focus on conservative movements, money in politics, but we go after everyone.
And as the caller may remember, we've spoken many times on this program about Obama's sort of original sin in political terms being when he was running in the 2008 campaign and decided to get out of the public financing system, that matching system that would have limited the amount of big money campaign donations he would take, which he used to support, but he got out of it in 2008 because he realized that he had the capability of raising such vast amounts of money and so much more than John McCain. So there's no question that Obama does it, and we've talked about that a lot here over the years. But right now there is this new report on Christie, so we're talking about this today. Lee, anything to add before you go?
I would just say that the pension funds all over the country that are engaging in these types of investments deserve more scrutiny, and there's a movement in many states to reevaluate these contracts. and in an era where these campaign donors, these hedge fund managers, can give unlimited amounts, there's certainly the potential for pay-to-play.
All right. We leave it there with Lee Fong, investigative reporter with The Nation Institute, and the author now on The Nation's website of The Machine, a field guide. Oh, this is not – sorry. The story about Christie is new. What is this other thing of yours, The Machine, a field guide to the resurgent right?
That's a book I published last year about the conservative movement and how it rebuilt itself under the Obama administration.
All right. And this new story is on thenation.org?
Mm-hmm. Thenation.com.
.com. And we have a link on our page, wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.